Michael Steele was elected Lieutenant Governor of Maryland 6 years ago, becoming the first African-American to serve statewide office in the state. He ran for the U.S. Senate in 2005, but lost. Today, he's the chairman of the Republican Political Action Committee, or GOPAC, a training organization for Republican candidates for elected office. Michelle Martin caught up with Steele at the Republican convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they spoke about a range of party issues as well as the Bush legacy.
Former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, Michael Steele, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's good to be with you.
Now, I asked Howard Dean this question in advance of the Denver convention.
Mm-hmm.
Do conventions still matter?
Oh, they do. They're very much a part of Americana. They're very much a part of the political landscape. I personally would like to see them become a little bit more spicy, less programmed, less outcome-based. You know, I kind of like the idea. You go in, you don't know. I was kind of hoping in the Democratic convention that there really was sort of a tug-of-war on the floor and a battle for the conscience and the soul of the Democratic Party. And I'd like to see the same thing occur at the Republican Party. However, we know that the political advisors out there see that as a dangerous thing. You know, it's perilous to actually open the convention up, God forbid, and have people go at it like they used to. But there is something special about, even the way it's packaged these days, there's something special about it. Now, you know, our convention here...
But what's special about it? I mean, there are those who argue, really, it's a four-day commercial.
Well, it is. It's the largest, most expensive infomercial on the planet. But it works because it has a way of driving people towards your brand, your ideological, political brand. You know, of course, our convention is, you know, started with the hurricane, Gustav. And I really appreciate the way John McCain has handled that, making sure that we focus on the citizens of the country who are in harm's way right now and less on the party.
What is your opinion of the ticket?
I love the ticket. I think it's exciting. It's daring. It's certainly not mainstream from a GOP perspective. You know, we're kind of a linear folk. You know, who's next in line? And if it's your turn and you didn't get the nod, then you got the number two spot. I think John McCain's broken that mold, and I appreciate him for it. I think Governor Palin is going to be someone that the media and hopefully the American people especially will enjoy being around and watching.
But can you really make the argument that she's ready on day one to be president if something should happen to
John
McCain?
Sure, I can. Absolutely, I can make that argument because she come to the table with something that John McCain, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden don't have. Executive experience. She's run government. However big, however small, she's run government. She knows what it takes to get the agencies to do what they need to do and to function. So I think she'll be ready. I think, you know, her experience, even and with something.
But some argue though that this is a cynical choice.
Oh,
really,
please stop it! Stop it! You know, I'm so sick of that. You know, if he picked a black, oh yeah, he only picked him because he's black. If you pick a woman, oh, it's only because. So they pick Barack. Did they pick him only because they let him leapfrog over Hillary because he's black?
They would have been millions of voters, not one.
Well,
man.
No, they would be the party. Because find me another two-term state senator who's white who would have gotten to the same point the same time he did.
One of the things that a convention does is throw a lot of political reporters together in one place. Today's news concerns the fact that Governor Palin's 17-year-old daughter, who is unmarried, is pregnant.
And why is that news?
I'm just asking you, does it throw a wrinkle into events? Does it change the dynamic in any way?
No, it doesn't. No. It's happening to families all across the country, and the families deal with it. And I'm sure Governor Palin and her husband will deal with her daughter and the boyfriend that she plans to marry. And I wish them well. Godspeed.
Wanted to talk to you about President Bush's legacy. He was originally scheduled to speak Monday night and chose not to come because he wanted to attend to matters related to the hurricane. And part of the reason that becomes relevant is that his handling or mishandling or his administration's handling or mishandling of Hurricane Katrina is considered one of the low points of his presidency.
It was absolutely a turning point. I still contend to this day that if they had found the helicopter to land the president on that overpass, and he walked off that helicopter and embraced a grandmother or a child or a family, it would have been a very powerful, moving moment in American history. But because they didn't, because it was mishandled that way, I think you're right, it's very hard to overcome. So here we start the Republican convention, and a hurricane comes ashore. 2 points. One, for those Democrats out there in their cynicism, and I think in their spiteful ways, who say, well, you know, this proves God is a Democrat, as one was quoted as saying. or laughingly, you know, playing off the fact, well, yeah, the Republicans are now getting theirs, you know. This isn't about any of that. Number two, I think it's an opportunity for the McCain administration, such as it hoped to be, to show how they will handle these crises, to show how engaged they will be, to separate, if you will, from past mistakes. And as it's no secret, Senator McCain has been and had been at the time very vocal on the handling of Katrina and what the government failed to do. And I think now this is his opportunity to put his imprimatur on this. And he has been, I think, a force. What I've been struck by is that the Obama campaign has been relatively silent, and he has not been as engaged or out in front.
Well, isn't that the same issue, though, trying not to politicize
a
natural disaster? There,
I guess...
Because neither of these men has any operational responsibility at this point.
Yeah,
Senator McCain does not.
You don't have operational...
Senator Obama.
But you know what? Leadership isn't necessarily about operational responsibility. I mean, that's an important part of it. Clearly, in Katrina, both the operational as well as the humanitarian aspects of it failed. I think what you see in Senator McCain humanitarily saying, you know, let's focus the nation's attention on those who are harmed so that we can begin the healing process, the cleanup process, and do it right. I think operationally what he said to his party is, we're going to cut back our convention. We can control some things. We can control some images and some aspects of this so that the American people know that we are engaged and we're not, you know, just here to have a good time while people are suffering. So I think that works.
I'm Deborah Amos, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is in St. Paul, Minnesota, covering the Republican National Convention. A little later in the program, we'll be joined by a panel of young African-American Republican voters. But first, we're going to continue Michelle Martin's conversation with Michael Steele. He's the chairman of a training organization for the Republican candidates for elected office. It's called GOPAC. Michelle talked with Michael Steele about President Bush's legacy.
Talk to me a little bit more, though, about President Bush's legacy and what his legacy will be. Obviously, Hurricane Katrina was a bipartisan disaster in the sense that it affected people of all races, all parties, all backgrounds. In fact, the mortality rate, the death toll, was equally divided between African Americans and whites, which is something that a lot of people don't remember.
Right.
But the reality is that for some people, it is seen particularly as it's become a metaphor for the administration's indifference to people of color and poor people. It's been perceived
that
way by some.
It.
You remember the Kanye West comment, Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right. Well, which is offensive to all the white people who died. And I hate it when we put disasters like that in that context, because the loss of life of an American citizen of whatever background, whatever faith, whatever, to me is something as president you need to be sensitive to and concerned about.
But I'd like to ask you what you think, particularly as a person who's worked to try to, among your other responsibilities, is to try to be an ambassador from the Republican Party to the African American community, as well as to your state where you were head of the party. What do you think the president's legacy will be in regard to
that issue? I think it is, the honest answer is I think Katrina absolutely harms it. I think Katrina will be the indelible stain on that legacy. I think the work that he's done in Africa, the administration's done in Africa, which has been widely overlooked by the press, the work that the president has done domestically, you know, first off, folks, we've not been in a recession or a down housing market or an economic downturn for 8 years. It's only been 6 months. The president, it's ironic, the president came into office in a recession and he leaves with one. And I think that will have a mark on his legacy for some time to come. Then, of course, you couple that with the war and other things. I think history will judge him ultimately as having been a fair president in many respects, and the rest of it, individually, I think is going to be a tough sell.
Mr. Bush also made education, especially closing the achievement gap for minority students, one of his key domestic priorities. I think the administration looks on No Child Left Behind as a success, particularly
from that standpoint.
From the opposition that he faced at the outset. But
right.
How do you
operationally? It needs help. Mm-hmm. Operationally, No Child Left Behind needs to be reformed and revised to reflect modern-day strategies for educating kids. We need to empower teachers. You cannot have teachers feel or, in reality, be testing to a test.
Teaching to a test.
They just can't. That's not how teaching is set up. So if teachers are telling you that, then you need to listen to it and you need to adjust the program accordingly to reflect more accurately what they need in order for them to prepare those students to be at or above grade level.
President Bush also made some key appointments. He appointed the first African-American Secretary of State, Colin Powell, the first African-American female Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, the first Latino Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez.
Right.
And of course, some of these were considered more successful appointments than others, but when all is said and done, if you and I were to sort of get together, say, 5 years from now, 10 mm-hmm. years from now, when you consider the Bush legacy in totality in regard to its outreach and commitment to minority communities, how do you think it will be viewed?
I think it has to be viewed favorably because no one else has done what he did, and he did it without anyone looking. I mean, that's critical to me. I mean, it wasn't like he did this big fanfare. Okay, I'm going to appoint a black person over here, and I'm going to... He did it without looking. And the other thing to keep in mind, you just rattle off the secretaries. Look at those assistant secretaries and undersecretaries in the other offices. That not the guy who's pushing the paper at mid-management level, but senior level, line responsibility as well. There have been a significant number of African-Americans, women, Hispanics, and others who have achieved roles in this administration. I think from that standpoint, from that aspect of his legacy, there's no one to match him. I think in terms of his legacy for Africa, for example, when I had a meeting with the Ghanaian ambassador, the first words out of his mouth was, "Tell President Bush thank you." Because no president has ever paid as much attention to Africa as he has. He has committed the resources, and he's followed it up. When you look at educationally, in terms of our HBCUs, the dollars that have been committed to historically black universities, colleges in this country is phenomenal. Clinton didn't do it. The Democrats didn't do it. He did. So that aspect of his legacy, I think, unfortunately, in the short term, will get lost in the light of Katrina, the war, and generally. But I think it's an important aspect that we need to remember.
Michael Steele is the chairman of GOPEC. It's a group that works to get more Republicans elected to Congress. He's the former lieutenant governor of Maryland, also the former chairman of the Maryland Republican Party. He was kind enough to join us here on Radio Row at the Republican National Convention. Mr. Steele, thank you so much for
speaking
with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Once again, that was Michelle Martin at the Republican National Convention.